Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your
greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is June 29th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing good. Just, what a Sunday.
What a Sunday?
What
do you mean by that?
I don't know. I got so much done this Sunday. I was watching the golf, but I was being pulled and I got a long list of chores I had to do from the missus.
Sounds like, yeah. Running all around, getting stuff done around the house, pre-baby. Baby moon ended abruptly and came home and got your ass to work,
yeah,
sounds like.
Seriously. Sundays are days of work for me. She did not abide by that today.
You think Dustin Johnson did a lot of like house prep before his kids came? Tatum and Ryder, I think their names are. You think
maybe.
Paulina
Who knows?
Had him going around the house assembling furniture like you were today, cleaning up?
I could see it.
You think that DJ does that kind of thing?
Maybe.
What
do you think DJ does when he's not, you know, golfing or on a boat?
I think he idles. I think he just idles.
Like,
I think
sits
he lays
on a couch
next to the pool, sits on a couch. You know, I bet he's not big into like electronic devices. Like he doesn't have a phone problem like the rest of the world. I think he just idles, you know, probably plays with his kids a little bit. So, all right, let's get to it. Sunday golf. Do we have any business we need to address
no.
at the top?
No business.
No? We're good. Okay. Dustin Johnson wins the Travelers Championship. It's his 21st PGA Tour win. Did you see like the 13th consecutive season debate on Twitter, Doug Ferguson? It's like, we don't need to wade into that ourselves. So
I think I kind of am a big calendar year guy.
Yeah, I am too. But you also need to acknowledge that the NBA, MLB is the
different.
Only sport that plays its season within the calendar year.
Yeah, but the fall events don't matter.
Okay,
that's like PGA Tour Junior series.
Tell that to Patton Gazire. Tell that to Brendan Todd, our hero.
I think,
for God's sake,
Brendan Todd might have gotten exposed today. His wins earlier in the year got exposed.
No, come on, for God's sakes, he shot 61 yesterday. He didn't get exposed anyway. All right, so it's his 21st PGA Tour title. He's won 13 consecutive seasons. He was T79 after the first round, obviously aided greatly by the Saturday 61. So, hey, quick question on Saturday.
Yeah.
Did you like everything being done by like 1:30?
Kind of, yeah.
Is that an old man take? It was done by like 2. You had the whole rest of the afternoon.
I loved it.
It's like, there's two ways to think about it. You know, on a late start, you can go play golf in the morning or do stuff in the morning. But you got, you know, the golf. Hey, it's, you know, it could go till 6-7 o'clock, especially if there's rain. I kind of liked being done early on Saturday.
I think early Saturday, late Sunday is the recipe.
Oh, that's not a bad play. I think, man, they won't have to compete with college football. They can get done by like 1 o'clock.
And it gives,
you know,
it
the
gives
fall.
The gives that time for that drama to build and marinate, you know, the storylines to kind of
overnight
soak in. Yeah, and the lead up into the next day. Like if,
sure.
You know, obviously you can't do it when there's rain delays, but if they teed off at like 3:34 and finished at 8 or 9.
We got extra hours of Todd appreciation in this instance, as he took the 54-hole lead.
This was Todd's first like run up against like a legit dude
Oh,
on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, he won. Higgs finished second and at Bermuda, and then he beat Adam Long, Ortiz, and Vaughn Taylor. I mean, I know Vaughn Taylor was part of the vaunted Ryder Cup.
Ryder
team,
Cup,
but you know, it's not like he's Sunday with DJ is a little bit different than Sundays with Vaughn.
Speak for yourself. I don't know about that. I mean, I think it was just a numbers thing. He'd hit like every single fairway. He'd played his ass off, and there was bound to be one bad round or one fairway started to miss. I don't know that DJ had anything to do with it.
The
we've
putts
seen
didn't
Ted
drop. He was a little nervy.
We've seen Ted Potter stare down DJ and send him out into Carmel Bay, you know.
You know what I noticed? He wasn't hitting his irons the right distance. He kept hitting them a little long, a little short, and that's kind of a telltale sign that he just wasn't clicking.
Yeah. So DJ wins, 21st PGA Tour win. Got a little luck on the 15th. Ball really plugged on the bank. But he explained it well. He's like, I mean, I chipped. It came back to my feet. Yeah. You know, kind of like my second chip shot is where, you know, ideally I would have been anyways had it gone in. It all kind of
the other
worked
thing,
out.
He was like out of bounds on the one hole by like a foot. Too.
Yeah.
So there's a good and bad breaks. It you know, DJ... It felt like DJ was going to run away when he was up three after Todd had his yip chip shank thing he had on that one par four. What was it, 14 or 12? 13. Well, 13. It would have been 13 because 14.
What are you saying, Todd? Sorry, we're getting breaking news here. Pretty big breaking news.
What's the news?
Sunday night. U.S. Open is returning to NBC starting this year at Wingfoot after Fox Sports is asked to end its 12-year contract with the USGA, multiple people told the Associated Press on Sunday night.
Wow.
Doug Ferguson with the report. I got a little bit of a tip tonight that before this came out that there would be some big news related to NBC Golf Channel. I didn't know whether it would be good, bad, or what.
Man. That means
this year?
That means Faldo for another major. Fuck.
Just Thursday, Friday. Azinger for the other, right?
Who knows? I mean, Fox was killing it. Jeez, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. Sorry, we're off the tracks here, but.
Man.
That this year?
Insane. Huh.
Can we get Johnny coming out of the bullpen?
Seriously.
Call this a Wingfoot?
I mean, they could do it. They're doing this remote stuff. Why? I couldn't see why he couldn't do it out of his house in Pebble Beach.
Yeah. Holy crap.
What a bomb.
That's crazy. In like 3 months? Huh. That's interesting.
Man. All that money. I wonder if the USGA is going to recoup it, like how that works, you know, like that huge contract.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
It is nuts. It's nuts. It's time for the shotgun start to get in the ring.
Yeah, what do you think we could do? Wingfoot? Go up there?
Yeah, I think we could get some rights, you know? Maybe pick up some scraps, maybe.
Sounds like NBC's got it all anyway.
Surprised they didn't ask us.
Wow. Final 7 years of the contract, NBC. So this is Doug Ferguson. They'll have the U.S. Open, British Open, along with 3 World Golf Championships, Ryder Cup, President's Cups, FedEx Cup. Interesting. I don't think anyone saw that coming.
Did not see that coming. Didn't think that we were going to be talking about that. But that's crazy. I'm sure more details will come out.
Yeah, sorry. We're flustered here. Interesting. In real life, breaking news. All right, let's get back to Connecticut. So, Todd.
I was saying, it looked like DJ was going to put it on cruise control and coast in. And then he hit that ball out of bounds. He had the, you know, it wasn't like easy coming in for him.
Yeah.
Streels didn't have the Sunday magic either.
No, he had magic, but not he had the exact kind of Streelman magic that, you know, close but no cigar. A little bit coming from behind.
He used it all on Saturday.
Then he got a little loose on 17 and 18, although, but as I stated on Instagram, our little live show thing before chat, before the coverage. He's already got a win this year with Fitzy. Dominated Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I think he might as well add that to his Hall of Fame credentials. You know they'll count it. Yeah, absolutely. Look at you grinning over there. All right, so what do you think about DJ? Any kind of legacy talk? Well, first of all, let's talk about the drive on 18.
Mash.
You know, those are the benefits of clean living, not going in the water at 15. You know, he's clean living. They get those kind of breaks. DJ's that kind of guy. But then 18, he goes and just absolutely 351 yards. Bubba's was 396 when he hit it 150 yards past Corey Pavin. This was 76 yards past Todd, I believe. But Bubba also got cart path aided when he hit his. So
I'm glad you looked that up.
That was amazing. What?
I'm glad you looked that up and got that clarification.
Yeah, yeah. Pavin's popped his up. I don't think Todd. It was just such a striking difference, kind of that summed up the whole day. Watching Todd just grunt his way to a 274 ball that rolled into like the first cut, maybe even like the primary rough. And then DJ steps up with like arms that are twice his size and shoulders twice his size. And I think like he kind of like smirked when he saw Todd's drive. And yeah,
Todd didn't make a birdie today.
I know.
He was nervous. You could tell.
You think he was nervous playing with DJ?
He was nervous. He got outclassed. It's hard for.
All right.
I don't want to disparage your guy here, but he basically won two opposite field events.
Shut up. You know what I think it is? He got rid of that like little Mickey Mouse CBD sponsor on his hat, and he's now with Big Tech. He's got Cisco across his lid.
Well, his agent was going to work.
I mean, what is that?
So let's talk about DJ.
Okay, let's do it.
So he now has 21 PGA Tour wins. He's got a major. I mean, yeah. I think like we did all these deep dives, and I don't know who he like really comps right now in terms of his career with these, you know, all-time greats of other generations. Like Fred Couples is an insult to him, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's probably the longevity. He's been really good for 10 plus years now.
Yep.
I think he's, I kind of feel like he's going to end up around VJ. He might not get to the same majors, but around the same numbers. Other guys, I'm just having trouble finding a real comp for him in terms of career. You know, obviously the one major really holds him back, but yeah. All those wins, you know.
Yeah. So remember we were doing the Oakmont look back, and I like tried to see like Furyk because they both have one U.S. Open and a good amount of wins, a bunch of close calls because we had done Wingfoot. Furyk was close there. Oakmont 07, he was close there. But I think like he's clearly ahead of Furyk, right?
That's miles really ahead. Miles ahead of Furyk.
Furyk's got a FedEx Cup. He's got a FedEx Cup.
It's one of the big things that he's missing.
Scaled the mountaintop.
What was that was the Rory playoff with Ryan Moore when DJ would have won, right? If Ryan Moore had won the playoff at East Lake, he would have won the FedEx Cup, right?
I don't remember. That sounds right. That sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds accurate. So so who's your closest comp, you think? VJ?
I think he's that's
the majors
he's,
thing is
well,
hard
that's
to,
where he's going towards, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's what, 36, 37?
I think it's 37.
So realistically, I think we've got three more years of really peak DJ, maybe. Yeah. He might not even be peak anymore. I don't know, but this is obviously a great sign that I think the, you know, the shutdown probably was really good for him. It seems he got healthy.
I heard him talking today. He was like, if Colonial was like in the normal course of the season, he would not have played it. Not because it's Colonial or where it felt, because he wasn't healthy enough yet. but like he wanted to get back. I guess he said his knee, he like tweaked it and kind of played through it, was worried about it coming home, and then played through it, got better at RBC, and then obviously, you know, got fully better at Travelers. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't even know he was injured or not fully healthy at Colonial. It's such a hard career, I think, to dissect and assess. I always compare him to like Weisskopf. Like the people from Weisskopf's, and I'm not talking about resume. He's had a much better career than Weisskopf, but I think there's like a our dad's generation like talks about watching Weisskopf and like feeling just a different way about watching him. And like obviously seeing DJ up close, watching him play is part of like the real impact. There's like a tangible impact there. If it's not the first paragraph, the second paragraph is always about like the misses, right? The close calls, whether it's Whistling Straits or Pebble Beach or obviously Chambers Bay, things like that. I don't know. It just feels like a career that should have
more
Phil type majors, Faldo type majors. Is that too Rory type? I don't know.
I think so. I think he's somehow a little bit underrated. I think he gets ragged on because he's not the brightest bulb in the basket.
Right.
But
right.
And I think that and he doesn't give people a lot in terms of interviews. He's not he's not Rory, where everybody just can't wait for him to talk and everybody's excited to ask him questions and excited, like nobody's like yearning to write the DJ Gamer after DJ wins because, you know, they don't feel like there's, you know, that much to write about. But
yeah,
in terms of like pure I mean, his consistency is unbelievable. And I think outside of really Rory,
yeah,
you know, obviously Brooks has done more, you know, big wins, but you know, DJ's had a longer career.
Yeah.
So it's you know, outside of those two guys in this generation, who else is there, you know, with them?
Well, the word you used, outclassed, I think was very, it's like appropriate. Just because there are, whether it shows up on leaderboards or career totals, there are very few people that can like just clearly show that they're in a different class, playing one hole, playing in an hour or one round. And I think DJ's talent is shown more through the screen or walking, you know, alongside him on a hole than necessarily in even career totals. And the career totals are impressive, but yeah, just outclass. Very few people can just outclass their fellow PGA Tour pros like the way he can. So
yeah.
Other things you liked?
Will Gordon.
Yeah, big time. So he gets special temporary membership, can have unlimited sponsors exemptions now.
I mean, think about how huge this is, especially considering what's going on with the schedule. I mean, it's essentially a massive year, and like nobody's getting cards unless they do it this way. And I think this is the point. I think everybody always, sponsors can pick whoever they want. You know, it's their right as the sponsor of their tournament. But like, this is where the Travelers nailed it, is like they gave a guy a spot who's now going to be on the PGA Tour. Like, that's what these spots should be given. They should be given to people that, hey, you know, this kid can play his way onto the tour and legitimately do that. And now it's exciting. Will Gordon is like he could be a superstar. He gets lost because hasn't been on the tour, but this is a guy that in college was on the same level as Hovland and Scheffler and Morikawa. Like, this was Vandy's best player.
Like SEC player of the year,
yeah,
I think.
I mean, Vandy was the number one team in the country, and this is the best player on their team. Like, this guy, and he played great in Canada. Like, that's the thing. This was a great spot, a great sponsor's exemption, and the guy, he birdied the last hole to get his enough points.
They did the same with that Peter Kest too, or Quest, whatever, the BYU phenom. I couldn't figure out the connection with Connecticut, but I think they just gave it to a young guy. They did it last year with Saw. I think they gave Saw a spot. Yeah. Hovland, Wolf, those guys had just turned pro but didn't have status, things like that. So now he's, you know, has a little more security, right? It's not like full blow security, but he got it done. Thanks a little bit to Todd's kind of blow up there. That triple really freed him up. He's done, I think I read a Brian Wacker article tonight. He's three finishes of T21 or better in six starts. So he's got, you know, enough FedEx Cup. He would have qualified for the KFT finals, but of course there is no finals this year just based on those starts alone.
Yeah. So, I mean, in 2-3 weeks, he might be, you know, fully status.
Yeah. He's got the top 10 exemption, obviously, into Rocket Mortgage, where he'll play next week in Detroit. What else did you like? Mackenzie Hughes, how about that? Making an extra $210,000 with two putts on the last two greens.
Bombs.
Not bad.
$210,000. Earlier in the week, it was interesting. They had a really good interview with Victor Hovland where he talked about, because this was his first pro start.
Yeah.
And this is like something that, you know, I think we don't think about enough, is he talked about how it's fun to come back and realize all the shots he didn't have last year that he now has after a year of professional golf. And like, I mean, like going from college to like, think about being a collegiate student athlete,
right,
and then going and you're playing on the PGA Tour 1 year later and how much you would learn.
Right.
And I didn't ever, I didn't think, you know, it was something that I hadn't thought of in a while. But like him talking about that, it was like, God, that's really cool. And that, I thought that was just a neat interview. And, you know, I think young players get a bad rap sometimes of not really having a lot to talk about. I mean, they're 22 and on tour. And that was something where it was really a thoughtful thing that I thought he said.
Yeah. Bryson. I liked Bryson's form. I mean, there's a lot of talk about it. I think he's top eight or something in his last six starts, somewhere around there, not winning. He's got this casino analogy. Did you see that? Like, I want to be the house, and eventually I'll win, I think is what he was getting at. I have to refresh myself on that, to be honest with you, or it just wasn't made clear in the Q&A. But what do you make of him? He's playing well. Like, I think they said he's the most relative to under par, you know, across three events, cumulative.
He is living the most under par.
He really is.
If this, too bad this isn't the coffee pot, he'd be getting our prize.
We're gonna have a special prize that we're gonna try to get in front of the winner of the coffee pot. We'll see.
We could have called this the, you know, I don't know, the
restart something or other. Return to golf, all caps. That's the PGA Tour's official campaign. Return to golf.
Well, the travelers could the our logo could also double as a false start. You know,
yeah, that's true. Any comments on Bryson? I mean, changed his body and it's paying off in terms of how he attacks and is able to succeed on the PGA Tour.
He just rips driver up there, and it's hard to make bogeys when you're like 20 yards off greens, you know?
What was the, was it your question or a question on Instagram today that asked who wins Spieth first? Does Bryson win a major or Spieth win anything?
Yeah. I think it's Spieth. I don't know. I'm not sold on this strategy at like a U.S. Open. I don't know if
Bryson.
I think hitting it far and straight, like that's the one thing that gets lost, is hitting it very straight also. But yeah, those fairways are like 25 yards wide, and I think you could get yourself in some rough that's really, really gnarly to greens. Like, I don't know if that strategy will work quite as well, but it might. I don't know.
I don't have the data to conclusively say this in front of me, but he seems to, because he's swinging so freaking hard, there's an occasional like Ernie Els type hook that creeps in there. He did it on 18 today, did it a couple times, I think, at Harbortown. I don't know. Maybe that may not be corroborated by the data, but I've seen a couple where he tries to murder the ball, and it's a pretty hard hook left. But good on him. He's playing maybe the best golf consistently on the PGA Tour right now. All right. What else
did
you like?
I mean, I like the golf course. I like the coming down the stretch. It's fun.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's good.
It was kind of, it was nuts that DJ's ball plugged on 15.
That was crazy.
How is that even possible? And it wasn't, it wasn't plugged. That was the strangest thing.
It wasn't plugged. It,
like, yeah. I don't understand how that, like, physics, like, from a physics standpoint, how that is even possible.
It's just landed like in a pillow. Well, it is a pillow soft. So, anything else? It's a great event. I don't know. Did the no fans thing have any impact? They were talking about that a ton on the broadcast about how many people would normally be there at 18. They kept eliminating that fact.
Yeah, but it's awesome. They get that drone out and the telecast is so much better. The watching golf is so much better without fans.
I've seen this start to creep in as almost like a mainstream take now on Twitter. Non-golf watchers, people like, you don't have people yelling, shouting stupid stuff. It's starting to become sort of a mainstream take.
Well, you know, now they get to see it. They've gotten to test drive it.
Yeah. All right, what didn't you like?
What didn't I like?
I didn't like the Todd fade, obviously, but we don't need to say any more about that. That was a punch to the gut. He was exposed a little bit.
The Jason Day thing was really strange.
Why didn't you like that? What do you mean? Why was it strange?
It was weird.
And then by the time his round ended, they're like, that was a mistake or something? Or that won't happen again?
Well, I think they've changed the rule. Like, if I come and say I'm having symptoms... Like, I shouldn't be allowed on the golf course.
I didn't mind him, like, being cautious.
I just,
right? It's like I'll play by myself.
The tests just seem so unreliable that they have.
What's going on with that? I wanted to do a separate COVID, like, chat at the end, but...
I mean, this,
Champ
the thing,
tested
here's,
negative
here's
three
the
times?
Thing I don't like. I just don't like COVID. I don't like that...
Hot take.
We have this thing. Going on.
That sucks. I know.
It sucks.
I know.
But it's, I don't know. The whole, if you have symptoms, like, it just seems like the reliability of these tests is not great. And if I'm showing symptoms, like, I don't think at this point it's even, like, smart to even have the guys, it should almost be an auto WD.
Not be on the course.
Yeah, like if
not
I'm not
anywhere near the course.
Yeah, if I'm not feeling well, like, you know what? It's too bad.
It
right?
Yeah. They're definitely buckling down a little bit, right? You're seeing more masks on the course.
How about
all the
Todd's
masks
caddy?
In the interview? Yeah. Well, maybe he has like a
I know, I like
at risk condition or something. But yes.
You saw Rory.
Rory had a mask. It sounds like they're doing more testing. You have to test negative in market now before you even are allowed on the course. That's maybe the Champ rule. But Champ has now tested negative three times since testing positive. You know? But they're not letting him play. He's not medically cleared by their protocols, which I think is, look, we just got to make a few sacrifices here to keep golf going. We're starting to, Dylan Fratelli tested positive tonight. He was to get on the charter. He's not allowed on the charter. I don't know if we're starting to have a complacency, but there's like more of an acceptance of positive tests, I would say. Like when Watney tested positive, it was like, oh my God, are we shutting down? And like more are coming. I just wonder if we're being too accepting of the positives. I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not a complacency, but it's like, yeah, another guy. The news just isn't as shattering, earthquake. Like, you know.
Well, I mean, like the other thing is there isn't like a ton of like general. And I don't mean this in any disparaging way. And this is a obviously very serious thing for Dylan Fratelli, but like. The interest level in Dylan Fratelli versus like when Brooks WD, that was huge, you know, that was like a big, and I think even to a certain extent, Graham McDowell was big because he's a big name among the masses. Like people know who Graham McDowell is, you know, but Dylan Fratelli, a lot of people don't know. And they're just like, oh, but I mean, the reality is there's going to be more of these this week. And
yeah, it does feel like they're coming to a better, or at least improved processing to keep this train going, you know, so we're not just completely derailed here. So
it's I think I think he played with Poulter and somebody else this week, but that's the interesting thing is like, does it spread amongst those guys? But they're outside, you know. The traveling thing's just so tough because if one guy gets on that plane, you know, that's where it could go unravel, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. So I don't know. I actually didn't mind the day thing too bad, but I get your point. Other things I didn't like, Streelman and his fucking sunglasses. This became like a noticeable thing. Like, just don't have them, man. He couldn't figure out what to do with them. At one point, they're dangling from his buttons on the placket of his shirt. They're like flying off the back of his head, noticeably off the back of his head.
It's a cool look, Brendan.
Do you play? You play with sunglasses?
Oh yeah.
Right, and then you take them off the putt like he does?
No.
Okay. I just didn't know. Like, it just seemed like they were. It was bothering me how much of a nuisance they appeared to be to him. But he was, you know, adamant on, you know, marching on with his sunglasses. What else didn't you like?
That's about it.
Faded.
That was something that I expected.
Because this was a good week. I'm very optimistic. This is Phil, usual Phil stuff. I don't think this is a one-off. It's going to be the start of something really special. At least that's what I'm sensing. So I'm excited to work on it, to refine it, and then go back out in Ohio and see if I can put it together. I'm looking at his progress. I've missed a bunch of cuts.
You know what I didn't like? I didn't like how agitated Rory was in at what it seemed like was like tournament officials.
Is it tournament officials or is it just like kind of these extracurricular people flying around?
I don't know.
He's a featured player. He's a featured group. These are the burdens you have when you're the FedEx Cup champion. You're going to have a lot of spotlight. When you're the Prince of Pontevedra, you're going to have a lot of the peasantry following you all around at your beck and call. So I don't know. He did seem very bothered by
like
what was
all
that Friday
long.
Night and then yeah. Yeah, he's not playing, you know, he's playing fine, not up to the level that he was prior to the break. Phil, getting back to Phil, he looks ridiculous.
Oh, the joggers. Let's talk about the joggers.
The sunglasses, the all jet black outfit.
Those joggers look ridiculous.
He looks like a movie character. He looks bizarre. And then did you see the picture that Eric Patterson tweeted about his eyes? You can see his eyes through the lenses.
Really?
It's really, it's a spooky picture. I'll put it up on Instagram tomorrow. But I don't know. What's the joggers thing? Is that a midlife crisis? Another thing where he's the weight loss? And he looks bizarre. So we'll just transition to news. He's also trademarked hit bombs.
So ridiculous.
What do you think that is? Clothing?
Yeah. I mean,
what do you think? It looked like it was clothing. Whoever did the investigative work on it, hit bombs.
It's supposed to be clothing, but it's Phil. He monetizes everything. So maybe he's going to have a line of joggers.
Is he off Mizzen in Maine?
Who knows? Maybe they're making it for him. I don't know. He's ridiculous. Joggers was such a bad look. No 50-year-old should be wearing joggers. Nobody under like the age of 28 should be wearing joggers.
I wear joggers.
I have some joggers too.
I don't play golf in joggers.
I'm saying on the golf course.
I coach basketball in joggers. I do errands in joggers.
I do that too. So
there you go.
They're like sweatpants though.
They are. I don't have fashion. Whatever. Other news. We did the COVID stuff. I don't know. McCarthy WD'd, Colley WD'd out of abundance of caution. We got a tip that Camp Champ's like trainer opened up the back door after he tested positive, wasn't supposed to be in there. Did you see that?
No.
But we kind of already knew that part. Ryder Cup scoop.
Oh, yeah.
You want to share your Ryder Cup scoop that you mentioned on Instagram Live?
Yeah, I guess Faldo said something. I didn't catch it on
the
telecast.
He just let it rip. Jim Nantz didn't know how to respond. He's like, just moving on. Faldo just like, it's canceled.
Yeah, but I had a friend of a friend's wedding was, they told him, hey, you know, we can't have your wedding here August 2021 anymore. So, because we have the Ryder Cup, we have to get ready for that week.
Interesting. So, the Whistling Straits events and wedding department, maybe, you know, revealing a clue here.
Yeah.
About the Ryder. What happens to the President's Cup?
It just gets bumped back.
Quail Hollow.
I think
everything.
Well, like if you remember, the Ryder Cup was always odd years until 9/11. So get it back on the odd years.
I think they should do back-to-back weeks. U.S. team just goes from Wisconsin to Charlotte.
What if the teams were different? What if they probably would be?
Yeah, they probably would be. They have different point systems. They should just do it the same year. The Ryder Cup.
That'd be terrible. Stays.
I think it'd be amazing. So what do you think if it's bumped back? What do you think they should do?
With the point?
Yeah.
I think they got to just keep it. I think they keep all the points the same weight from this year, like through next year.
So it's like a 2 year. Equal weight as opposed to where the earlier year usually, I think it's just majors actually, maybe WGCs that give you points. I think that's fair. I got to read what happened at 9/11. I think they largely kept the team intact that would have played in 2001 when they went in 2002 to Ireland, I believe is where it was. So I don't know. We'll see. It seems like that's been an announcement that's been coming for a while now.
James Corrigan reported it last week. That
you and Murray, I think, last week. I don't know. Yeah, so it was across the pond, they've been saying it for a bit. So, U.S. Open exemptions. We didn't really talk about this on Friday. Any reaction to that? Expanding it. Looks like top 70 in the world. Phil is in.
I liked what they did with it. I think it's smart, you know. It's going to be the best U.S. Open field of all time.
Just on OWGR?
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, like, and then the way they're doing the amateurs, like the top seven Wagger. Yeah. It's going to be a stacked U.S. Open.
It's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that makes sense. Makes sense. Anything else? Any other news?
No, I think that's it. I mean,
okay.
Kind
good.
Of a,
this NBC thing seems.
Oh, we should talk about the Corn Ferry. Did you watch any of that playoff?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, I watched. Did that playoff take forever?
Insane amount of time.
That first hole seemed to take like 30 minutes. I was like, told my wife, I put the kids to bed, and I was like, I just got to watch this one playoff hole, and I got in trouble because it just kept going on and on. They all missed the fairway. They all took three shots to get on the green. The rain obviously impacts things, but. That was a potentially amazing story there. Daniel Summerhayes walk off, potentially.
Do you think he would have walked off if he had won?
That's a good point.
Even like with a second.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Is he going to walk off now? I hadn't checked on how he'd been doing in his form. I assume he'd not been playing well and that played into it.
The other thing is like it just speaks to like how big of a there's an underrated aspect of how hard pro golf is when you're playing it for your livelihood, how much pressure there is. And this is the week where like he's been playing really, and he's a very talented player. Obviously he's, you know, he's played really well. He's contended on the PGA Tour, but when you know it's not your job anymore, how much easier it is to play good golf.
Just
than when
free up.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
If you play golf for a living, I'm convinced that like the day you give it up, your 75 turns into 71.
Well, yeah, he shot a 62 on Sunday. I mean, he was playing a few hours out in front of the last groups. And it held up. You assume that doesn't usually hold up.
How about Kyle Jones?
By the way, what would you guess Summerhayes' career earnings are?
$7 million.
Almost 10. 9.7.
I mean, he played really good for a couple years on tour.
Yeah. He was in it at, you know, he was on first page of leaderboards.
Memorial, I think he was in the hunt 1 year.
One of those U.S. Opens I think he was involved in. What about Kyle Jones? The Tiger Woods? I screwed that up.
Yeah.
He's a character we need more of with the beard and the paunch. He's a husky boy. It looks like he's got, you know, a character. So
he's a legend from Arizona, not West Virginia.
Snowflake, Arizona.
Yeah.
Where did I get the West Virginia thing? It was Greenbrier.
White Mountain or something?
Snowflake. Yeah, Snowflake, but he's the Tiger Woods of White Mountain Junior Golf or something like that. So that's good. He talked about, similar to your Hovland quote, he talked about, you know, I didn't play my best on the PGA Tour, but like I was on the tour last year, I played rounds with Jordan Spieth, played rounds with Rory McIlroy, but like I learned a lot about, like, you know, playing not great golf, but also just becoming a better pro. So similar to that Hovland quote.
Yeah, that was obviously fun though. It was great that was on TV.
I know, especially staggered like that, right? Yes. Where you won wraps and you get the next one. I'm not saying you play the whole web tour on the West Coast, but that's not a bad blueprint, not a bad setup. So,
hey, all right. Another top 20 for Skinny Vinny.
Good. How about that? He's got to be playing well. I mean, it's a long haul, you know? Yes. It's a long haul. You got to keep accruing points there. So, all right. Anything else?
That's it for me today.
We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll be back Wednesday. Support us at Bixby. Got some Bixby stuff in the works. Light roast is coming. Mugs are coming for July. Coffee golf is nigh. All right. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for continuing to support the podcast. And the train runs on.